Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey, everybody, what's up? Welcome to the Roofer Show podcast, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I am your host, your coach, your teacher, Dave Sullivan. And next to me, John Delorier of Peach State Roofing, Savannah, Athens, Georgia. What's going on, John? How are you?
It's a good day. The weather's great. We're roofing in both markets, and it's only February, so it's great. Everything's good.
Because this is your slow time, right? Generally, you say you really drop off.
Yeah, we don't normally do a ton of work until April, March, into March, April, really. So we're excited. We have a few roofs next week in Savannah alone, so that's great.
So you're talking to roofers all over the country and so forth. What's going on? What's the latest? You seem to be pretty busy. You're getting leads. Whatever you're doing is working.
Yeah. So I think we've rebranded to Peach State Roofing. We still haven't gotten our trucks wrapped, which is a huge deal because we actually do get leads from the trucks. But yeah, we're waiting on all of our stuff. We're waiting on our yard signs, door hangers, all that stuff that we'll be actively helping marketing to get new leads in the 2024 season. So yeah, very, very thankful. Without those, we're still getting leads. Even in January and February. So very, very, very pleased.
Good for you. And what do you hear going on around the rest of the country? I work with a number of California roofers, and they're actually pretty damn busy. Things are pretty good. Business is good.
Yeah, I think that's a general trend right now. Some people may be struggling with snow, but move if you don't want to live with snow.
I'm up here in Lake Tahoe. I'm freezing my butt off, speaking of snow. I should be skiing, but I'm like, it's too much work. Anyway, all right. Well, that sounds great. Well, today we are going to cover our third leg of our three-legged stool. And this has been a series that we've been going on as we talk about a lot. Your roofing business is like a three-legged stool. And those three legs are you have to sell work, you have to do work, and you've got to keep score. And the difficult part of running the business, I mean, that's the simple part, sounds easy, but to keep those legs all solid and strong and equally balanced is really what it's all about. And that's how you run a good business over time. So we talked about the first leg, which is sell work. Well, we went through that, two episodes ago?
Yep.
And talked about some lead generation. We didn't get too deep into that. But we talked about how our sales process works, going through each step of the way. You talked about how we took a look at your website and how you're booking appointments. And we talked about making that first sale, which is to book the appointment, first part of the sale. So you've got to make that appointment after you've pre-qualified your prospects to make sure this is in your target zone, your ideal customer. And once you've determined that, now we're going to start the process. And we talked about the automations that you have moving through ProLine and how that moves along. You're sending them additional information, some videos, all about your business. So by the time you get out there to either meet or see this customer, however you're going to do it, they know everything about you. And you've already separated yourself from the competition because, as we know, I mean, if you just answer your phone, first off, you've already eliminated half your competition. And so now by setting these appointments, we're setting reminders, we're sending them back to our website. where they can look at the reviews. They can see the type of work that we're doing in the neighborhood. Hopefully get a dialogue going before you even go out there. And now when we have the meeting, the on-job meeting, we're halfway there. We've already teed up this sale. Anything to add to that, John?
Yeah. So that is, this is our goal. Our goal is that they know us, like us, and trust us before we even get to the initial inspection, that they have really intelligent, educated questions for us, and that we've answered a lot of those questions already with our content, specifically video content that we've created. It's really important to have consistent communication. So it helps the homeowner, obviously, because they're worried about choosing a roofing contractor. And then when they choose a roofing contractor, they want to know that the job's going to get done well and that their money's going to get taken care of and that they're getting what they're paying for. So it helps the homeowner's experience, but it also helps the organization. The roofing company's team understands what is going on for each different customer. So communication is important. Having a consistent activity feed that you can see every single text message, every single email, every single phone call is recorded. There's nothing that's slipping between the cracks. And like you said, we talked about the sales process, selling work. We talked about doing work during the production process and keeping that profit. And today we are going to talk about how to keep score after the job's done for not just the money, but other metrics and other KPIs we need to be tracking so that we can grow a more profitable roofing business.
I like it. So you're going to want to go back and check out those two episodes, because now we've sold the job. Now we have to do the job. So the second leg of the stool is do the work. So we laid out our process last week about how to get that work done profitably, because as John just mentioned, the money is made in the sale, which is where you've got to go justify a higher price than your competition by showing them the differentiation and the benefit and the value that you're providing. So that's where the money's made. Production's job is to protect that profit, because what tends to happen is that we tend to have slippage, leakage, profit leakage, bleed out. You call it whatever you want. It's not good. And that's where a lot of contractors lose money, where they just can't produce the job. And this is what we talk about. You can have all the work you want, but if you can't produce it profitably, it doesn't matter. And that's where keeping those margins strong. And then we're talking about having to make all these Home Depot runs and all of these go backs and all the problems that we have. And this is why we always have a process, step by step by step, on how to avoid all these things, all the problems that you have in production. Anything to add quickly there, John?
No, I think you hit them all.
Okay. So now we've done the job, we've completed it, and this is where we left off with, now what happens? The job is done, the crew's off the job. We were talking about your process there, John, what you do at that point, because we've still got to make sure the customer's happy. We need the reviews, we need referrals, we need all of these things to complete our five-star experience that we're giving that customer, and we're confirming that. So we don't have any surprise, you know, one or two star reviews, because for whatever reason, there was a misunderstanding, which is usually 90% of the time why we get there's bad reviews, is because some kind of misunderstanding. So now, John, you've got a great process that we discuss all the time, and the job's complete. What's next? How do you do quality control? How do we do customer meeting, perhaps? Or how do we get that review? How do we finish off the job as part of our scorekeeping? Because we're moving in from now production to keeping score. And that means the financials. Here's what we did. Did we make money? You know, what went right? What went wrong? How do we improve? So on and so forth. So you want to run with that, John?
Yeah. Let me share my screen really quick, and I'll walk through it verbally. Let's see. All right. So we're in ProLine, and we are I'll walk through this whole thing. So, and it doesn't really matter what CRM you use, but you need to have the separation between all three of these things. Let's see. Hold on one second. Hold on. My son is walking in the room behind me right now.
Of course, he's like so, sneaking up on you.
He is. You're going to talk about the...
You see me? You don't.
We do.
I've got a question here for you, Dad.
Yeah, he sure does. Buddy, go ask your mom. That's the perfect answer. Close the door. See you later. So your CRM needs to separate the three-legged stool in some way. It doesn't have to look just like this, but this is how we do it. We have sales, production, and billing, and then we have our two markets so we can see, separate the two markets. Again, this is our slow season, so we don't have a ton of leads in here. However, we have a lot of hidden leads. What I mean by that is that when we were using our old CRM, which is JobNimbus, we would leave things in a some campaign, and we would have like 100 of these leads, and they wouldn't be good leads because we'd never be following up. So we'd have a bunch of things, we'd feel great, but they wouldn't be pre-qualified. They wouldn't be like real potential buyers. So our numbers look a lot smaller than they did in the past, but we're actually selling these jobs. So we have sell work, and we're going through this process of understanding where people are in the process. They're getting great communication. We've got the production part, and then we understand where that's going on with automations as well. And now we're on to the billing. We call it billing, which is the keeping score part. So when you go into a project, and let's go to one that's paid and closed already. All right. So let's go to one that I actually know what's going on in this job. Cause this is all Cameron's stuff in Athens. And I'll go to one that I actually know about.
And I'm just going to add in here. You're so right about, you know, you got to have a CRM to track all this. As you can see, there's a lot of information, but it's worth doing it. This is how you run a successful business, and you run a business that you can grow. And we talk about this all the time, right, John, with building a foundation. Okay. Now, if you've got all this information, this setup that John's got in ProLine, which is awesome, and you should always check this out, of course, it just lays it out clearly. Now, as John continues to grow his business, he can track all this, and we're not scrambling around like so many contractors are just by the seat of their pants. And this is how you eliminate the putting out fires all the time that everybody complains about. Wearing all the hats, it's the same thing, and they can't track any information. So when I ask them, I go, okay, what's happening here or there? They're just, you know, they don't know. This is how you manage a business. And as a business owner, this is what you should be doing. And if you're not, you need to get some help. We can help you. ProLine can help you. So anyway, just throw that in there, John, because this looks great. And this is building a script that you've already built is a strong foundation. Everything's ready to go and you are ready to grow.
Yeah, exactly. So some of these are older. We haven't had these features yet in ProLine, but until now, but we're in the budget section of our project. And so under the budget section, we have a planning tab, and then we have a final tab. This is where we do a pre-job budget and then a post-job mortem, like you call it. Mm-hmm. So the gross revenue is tied directly to ProLine's invoicing. So you cannot manipulate that. You know, ProLine knows exactly how much money you collected for this job. There's no questioning. You understand exactly what was collected for the job. And the planning budget, now it's blank on my screen because we didn't have this feature at the time of this job, but it is the salesperson's responsibility to not only use our proposal system that has all the price lists in there built in, but also go in this planning tab and actually price out the job secondarily to see if there's any other items that are not labor and material that it could be associated with this job. It could be a referral program that's not associated with the job. That's a big one that we're going to be implementing this year, that we're going to be paying people for referrals. So it needs to be tied to that job.
And that's going to be a job cost is
correct.
Your referral,
correct.
Whatever the cost is going to be.
Correct. If there's some jobs have permits, some jobs do not. Right. So we need to understand basically this planning tab helps give a double check to the existing price that we're about to send in the proposal. And then we can compare this planning tab to the final tab as Tisha goes through and she reconciles the labor, the material, if there's commission, did we have a gutter crew? Was there dumpster? Do we have direct marketing costs for this job? And did we pay a referral for this job as well? So you're going to get the gross profit and the gross profit margin for the job.
Let me just say, because this is important, where you're talking about adding, these are job costs that you're incurring on this specific job. If you didn't pay a referral fee or whatever it was, you know, it's not going to be on this job, but you want to set these up correctly. And this is where your chart of accounts is so important to have set up correctly. Part of the foundation, this is what Tisha does, is set up this chart of accounts so we know where things should go. Okay, sorry.
It's true. So we do have an integration with QuickBooks. And so right now we don't mess with QuickBooks numbers. What we do in QuickBooks right now is just create an actual contact in QuickBooks so that we can reconcile what's in ProLine and what is actually in QuickBooks itself. So we have correct numbers and they are down to the penny for Tisha. She takes it down to the penny. And so we have really, really accurate numbers that we're able to show reporting for every job. And this is all pretty new for ProLine. I mean, ProLine has been a CRM since August 1st of 2023. So all these features are relatively new, definitely new for Peach State Roofing, but there we've already seen a massive efficiency and understanding of true profit to true cash for each job that we actually produce. And it really helps. It helps the salespeople. It helps the production people because they understand it. And I'm all about transparency because I want people to understand where our costs are going and how we actually get the one thing is acquisition costs. People do not realize how expensive it is to acquire that customer. Close rates, we have a lot of that tracked as well. But as far as the job goes,
Acquisition cost, because we were talking about that this morning, that you're working with Brad Akers on some programs on that, getting the numbers down. But this acquisition cost, I think this is where people just, you know, the contractors just can't imagine the cost of acquisition. So what are we talking about? Let's just, it's kind of off topic, but it's important.
It's a hard thing because everyone has a different story. But if you're paying an agency, let's call it $2,500. Let's do it low, $1,000 a month just for management. Well, then what's your ad spend? It's probably another $100 a day, which is $3,000 a month. So you're at $4,000 just for pay-per-click. If you're doing any Facebook ads, you're paying for management for that and you're paying for ad spend for that. People do not realize how much it adds up because to get the lead to turn into an appointment, to turn into a customer is on average $1,833. And Brad has a lot of data to back that up. Mm-hmm. And people do not realize that that's what that actually costs because they're like, oh no, it's $500, maybe $600 to acquire the customer. No, that's if you sold every single prospect, right. Mm-hmm. The prospect turning into a lead, turning into a sale. If you had 100% close rate, and if you do, your prices are way too low.
Right.
But even then, if your prices were that low, you still wouldn't close every single person because the people do not recognize how much stuff costs. Homeowners just don't realize how much roofs cost. It doesn't matter how good your price is. If they thought it was $5,000 and it's $25,000, it doesn't matter. The numbers are real. You cannot really run a roofing business for less than $1,000 per acquisition. It's really, really almost impossible. Even with door knocking, you have overhead. You have actual cost. And our overhead is around $20,000 a month. If you don't think yours is $20,000 a month, probably look at your numbers again and wonder why you don't have any money.
Yep.
Because that's really low. $20,000 a month is very, very, very low.
So we're talking about everything. We're talking about truck wraps. We're talking about branding. We're talking about uniforms for the guys and all of this, right?
Yeah, it is. $20,000 is incredibly low. I'm going to keep it that way, though, because I want to be profitable.
But back to this pay-per-click, because this is what's important. You know, you're paying per click, okay? These are not appointments that you're getting. They're not sales that you're getting. So what do you think out of
it's less clicks? Than 10%. It's less than 10% of actual appointments, generally. It's 1 out of 10 turn into an appointment.
Turn into an appointment.
Then you have to close 1 out of 3, so then you got to do 30 clicks. So then you're like, oh, what? That's not possible. Yes, it is possible.
Yes.
On average, a true lead is between $150 and $175 per lead on Google pay-per-click right now. That's what a lead is. So then you have to, you know, if you're closing 1 out of 3 of those, let's just call it $150. That's $450 just on the actual ad spend that you just spent.
Right.
That's just the ad spend. That's not the management fee. That's not getting out to the actual residence. It's not actually the people it takes to get to the residence. Like, do you pay for a receptionist service? Do you have a receptionist? Well, I don't have any of that. Well, just you keep adding it up because insurance is in there too. And if you don't have insurance, then probably not a good listener to this podcast. So there are actual costs that are accrued for each actual customer that you have. So you had to go to 3 appointments to sell one job. It's going to be over $1,000. Don't argue with it. Don't think it's something else. It's over $1,000.
It is. And this is why you have to know your numbers. You have to know your average job size. You have to know, you know, your close rate, and you have to actually track that and understand it. I mean, we can rattle these numbers off the back of our, you know, the top of our head because we work with them all the time. And that's running a business. That's what it takes to know what's going on. So that was a good little sidebar, I think, hopefully worth it. Great information. So now we're back to our scorekeeping. So go ahead, John. We were looking at your screen and looking at what a great job that ProLine has all this stuff laid out so you can really see what's going on. Now, real quick, you know, some people say, well, I can't get my guys to do this stuff. I can't get them to fill out all this information. You know, I've got five sales guys running around. I just can't get them to do it. How do you respond to that?
Take away their commission, and then we'll do it really quick. It's really easy. We have parameters in ProLine that allow a certain amount of margin. So for the way it's set right now is at 40% gross profit, but we will allow for most jobs to be at 35% gross profit. They get paid 10% off the top, so the company makes 25% gross profit. Argue with me if it's good or bad. I don't care. This is what we're doing. This is what works. The company makes the money. We acquire the customer, and that's for a lead that we provide. And they are expected also to, moving forward with Brad's program, the goal is every single customer that we actually produce, we get 3 additional appointments. So that in turn should yield another actual customer. 3 appointments should yield an actual customer. So that will drastically reduce our acquisition costs, increasing our overall profitability, giving us the ability to have more support staff. So we want our salespeople, they currently are cradle to grave, but if we can actually work on this program this year and take that acquisition cost money and put it in part of that acquisition cost money, put it into a site superintendent or a production manager, whatever you want to call it, somebody to assist the salespeople, that'll free up their time to do sales activities only and not have to do production management activities. So that's the goal for us this year, is to put this referral program in place, use all the tools that we have as a company. If we're providing, you know, hundreds of postcards per job, we're providing door hangers per job, we're providing yard signs, we're providing wrapped vehicles for them to drive. All these things help them sell. All the apparel is really top-notch apparel. We're trying to set our guys up for success so that they enjoy what they like to do, which is sell roofs. They don't have to worry about the other things. Mm-hmm. And it makes it really easy and fun to work with an organization that actually supports them.
Agreed.
That's our goal for 2024.
Our goal, as we talk about, is to get one additional job for every job we do in a neighborhood. And that's where your three appointments comes from, I think, right?
Correct.
So what do we do to make that happen? We have a process that has to be followed and followed every time we do a job, right?
Yep. So some of that's supported by ProLine because the automations are going out, prompting the homeowner to remember the referral program. There's a lot of touches about referral programs before the inspection, after the inspection, before the job, after the job. We're constantly reminding people about a referral program and being very intentional about conversations that we're having. We're only partial way through Brad's program, so I'm not going to be able to speak at length about that, but I do know it works. It works in other industries, and it works for other roofing contractors as well. That type of, you create what's called a sales flywheel as opposed to a sales funnel. So what I'm used to doing is having a brand new lead that knows no one in my network, no one in my personal network, doesn't know our brand at all. They come through a lead source of any kind. It doesn't matter. That's a cold lead. So they're a prospect at that point. Then we pre-qualify them, turn them into a lead. And then if we are good at closing, we're 1 out of 3, maybe 40% close rate, they become an actual customer. Once they go through, we may ask for the 5-star review, and that does kind of help with the funnel, but it doesn't really move the needle as far as increasing our lead flow. So the difference between that funnel and a flywheel is that you make your prospects go all the way through a process to become raving fans, to then refer other people to become prospects, to become raving fans. That's essentially what it is. It's a very simplified version of what a flywheel is, but you get the idea. Your existing customer base, you're leveraging them to help you grow your business, as opposed to leveraging tools like Google Pay-Per-Click or Google LSA or Yelp or Thumbtack, whatever you're using for lead sources. Door knocking, doesn't matter. If you don't have a process to get the referrals, then it's very difficult to make that flywheel turn.
Go out there and bang out one job and then you just move on. But if you can get one additional job for everything, I mean, that's huge, obviously, you know, when we're talking about additional sales. Bringing our acquisition cost for a new customer down. Obviously, if we can do that with a few mailings and door hangers and so forth and acquire a new customer, we're saving a lot of money on that. What do you do to get those additional appointments?
So it's not our program, it's Brad's program. Brad, and I've only about 15% through the entire training, but we've already implemented some of the things that we've learned. So here's an example. We had a lead. It was an appointment yesterday, and that's a Monday. So over the weekend, we ran 2 postcard campaigns in the street that this customer lives on. He lives on a street with 23 homes. And we sent postcards that said, hey, we're inspecting your neighbor's roof. Here's QR code, call to action. And then we sent another postcard on Sunday. Different message, but same branding, QR code, call to action. Once we do the, once we sell that job, then we will put yard signs out. We'll start running more postcard campaigns. We're already doing that right now. So for this house particularly, we're going to run what's called an 8x8 campaign. Dope Marketing talks about this a lot, where you're running one postcard per week for 8 weeks. And there is a lot of data showing that the number 8 for this type of consistent campaign actually does make an impact for a specific target market. So if we have wrap trucks, we have yard signs, we have door hangers, we're also going to run door hangers as well in the same 23 homes. We're going to do it twice. We're going to run door hangers before the job. Hey, pardon our mess. And then we're going to run door hangers again after the job. So you're going to have 2 waves of door hangers. It's only 23 homes, so it's not time consuming. And all the houses are very close together, so it's great. They're all 45, 50 square homes, nice size homes with, they're all, you know, $20,000 roofs at least.
And your salesman's just walking the neighborhood.
Yep. We're just going to walk the neighborhood. We're not going to door knock. We're just going to hang the door hanger, and we're going to have, I hope at that point we actually have another catch-all system. We'll have a catch-all system and some flags. We're going to make it an event. We're going to make every roof in a neighborhood like this an event. We are not just going to, this is going to help us lower accuracy. We're talking about numbers today. So this is, all these things are related to keeping score. We're lowering our acquisition costs by not having an $1,833 customer acquisition number. We want to lower that by at least a third, by at least two thirds. We want to be about a third of that to acquire a customer, and then use marketing to give, not just a lower acquisition cost, but a better brand recognition that allows us to sell at a premium price. Cause we're giving a premium experience. We have better crews. They're all wearing apparel. Our trucks are wrapped. We have yard signs. We have flags. We're giving actual value because we're installing complete roof systems. We're registering your warranty. We're giving you real value. We know we're going to clean up everything. We're going to make sure we run magnets. We're going to make sure if we damage anything, we have the money in our budget to actually fix that thing. So it's really important to establish yourself in any market that way, to be the best experience that a customer can have for their roofing.
And not only are we getting more appointments necessarily, but we are brand building. With, we've got 25 people in this neighborhood that know who the hell we are now that did not before. And those are going to be our people that, you know, be where they may come across somebody that needs a roof. Hey, do you know any roofers? Well, there's this guy on the street, you know, that's doing this job, and these guys are really professional. So you're, you, that's the brand that you want to build. And for every job that you're doing that, you're just going through these neighborhoods and you're dominating them. So that's an additional benefit that you're getting, not just from specific, and that's hard to measure, not just specifically the leads that you get from that one job. I think that's great. Now, in your referral program, do you have a pay per referral program? Do you believe in paying for a referral?
We're building that right now, but we will have, that's not going to be the major incentive. We will have customers that want that. We have paid people for referrals before. But the main thing is more the process of how we ask for the referrals, mm-hmm. and the customers know that we expect to ask for referrals at different parts of the process. So it's not necessarily, hey, you're going to make $250 if you, like, we're going to give you $50 if we just get a qualified appointment,
right?
Straight up. We're just going to give you $50. If they become a customer, we'll give you another $200. So they're going to make $250 to refer their friend. That's not really a driver necessarily for most people. They just want other people to have that experience. They're like, I trust this person. They are going to get, you know, referral automations from Proline. And we just had one yesterday. The guy responded like, yeah, I'm absolutely going to refer you to my neighbors. That's fine. That works. But you really need to stay top of mind more aggressively than that. Not every 6 months. It doesn't really help because I know that roofs are getting done in that neighborhood mm-hmm. in that 6 month window. So we have to be a little more proactive about asking for referrals at the time of sale and a bunch of times during the sales process.
Starts with being referable. You know, really.
That's true.
It's providing that great experience. And that's why it's so important to go through this entire process where we're going to be sure from start to finish, we're seeding this project, you know, where we're going to get reviews and so forth. I've talked about this before a number of times, but this is a great example. I had my roof done in my home a couple of years ago, and I didn't really know who to call. You know, I'm in the residential business around there, so got a few roofers, three or four roofers. And the first thing is, you know, it is all the same. There was no differentiation. You know, you look at these quotes, you know, we set them aside and, oh God, we got to get the roof done. Let's take a look at these, pull them out. And they look all the same. So if that's the case, why wouldn't you go with the lowest price? You're looking at commodities. Okay.
Yep.
So that's the first thing, is all of this is to show that you're different. If we had that, or if somebody had followed up, we didn't have one call, one contractor call to follow up. Hey, you know, we'd really like to do your job. Would you like to get this on the schedule? You know, any questions, anything, nothing. Okay. So I ended up having some of my guys do it, my commercial guys. But the thing was that during that summer, our neighborhood probably had, I think there were 4 roofs completed in our area. And the crazy thing is they were all done by different contractors. Not one of those contractors did 2 of those jobs. Well, if you've got 4 jobs going on, why wouldn't you at least, I mean, I didn't get a postcard, I didn't get a door hanger, I didn't get anything. I had no idea that these guys were working in the neighborhood. That is crazy. And that's what we're talking about here. You know, I would drive by, you know, because they're always looking up as contractors, right? I see a job, I go out there. There's no signs on the trucks. There's no anything. I mean, you know, to identify them. I mean, a couple of guys did, but you know, that's crazy. This is what we're trying to avoid, right, John? We're trying to build this system, this process that's going to make us a ton of money by having our act together. And this is why it's so important that you can do this, because if you can get one additional job for every job in the neighborhood, and in our neighborhood, it would have been so easy to do that.
Yep, I agree. I mean, we're talking about marketing, we're talking about branding, but it's related to keeping score because the acquisition cost is so high. You need to reduce the acquisition cost so that when you're doing a pre-job and a post-job, the numbers actually make sense. You actually have cash in your bank account because you actually understand real numbers. We're just talking about direct costs today. We're not talking about how you work on your overhead numbers and what you should be doing, what you should not be doing. But it really is important to not just be profitable on the job, but actually understand how much it costs to actually get that job.
Mm-hmm. You've got to know your numbers. Well, let's talk about reviews, because referrals, we've talked about how important they are, but also reviews are important, very important for your SEO, for establishing trust, you know, where you've got somebody that's raising their hand and going, hey, these guys are great. That means a lot. What's your process for getting those reviews? So it's just not this haphazard thing that, you know, I talked to contractors, well, what's your process? You know, yeah, if we remember, we're going to say this or that. And that's why they don't have any reviews. You know, you've got a ton of reviews. How do you do it?
We have a lot of verbiage in our automations about 5-star experience from the very beginning. So we're setting that tone for 5-star, the word 5-star. And then we talk about 5-star experience throughout the whole sales process, throughout the whole production process. And then at the end, we're asking for the review. If the customers in front of us will ask for the review, we currently are going to be using these little cards called Google Boost. The Google Boost card, you tap it, and then it goes right to your Google profile, depending on the location. We have 2 locations, and they can write a review there. And then if they're not present, we have automations that still ask for the review and send 5 other automation follow-ups. And so we want to make sure that there's, people may love us. We actually received 2 5-star reviews from one of the jobs we did about a month ago, 1 from the husband and 1 from the wife. And it was just a matter of following up. Mm-hmm. And so they both obviously loved us and we did a great job. Cameron did an amazing job serving them. They were somewhat actually difficult to work with. And a little needy, and Cameron stepped up to the plate and he gave him an excellent experience, and they both wrote a 5-star review. And that really does help. It helps with all types of online presence. It helps with customer trust. It helps with Google SEO. It's a lot of things.
Definitely. Now we talk about, you know, seeding that job. Now, I like to use it during the sales process where I start off by, hey, this is Jones. you know, our business is built on referrals and recommendations from fine folks like yourselves. So what we want to have is give you a five-star experience. And the reason we're going to do that is because we would like to get a review after we're finished, that five-star Google review, because that's how our business is built. And the only way we're going to get that is if we give you this awesome experience. Does that sound like a good place to start? Well, of course it does. What are they going to say? No. And so that's the first part of setting that seed. Also, it's part of the sales process where we're showing that we're different, that we care about this experience. That's all they care about. They care about how are they going to feel at the end of this job? Okay. That's experience, customer experience, and why it's so important, why it's so important that we talk about it all the way through, like John's talking about. And then it's a natural progression to get that review at the right time. Now, John, we talked earlier about how so many of your customers just aren't there where we're going to do the final wrap up, whether you go out there, meet the customer or whatever. How are you going to get these? How does that really work in your situation as far as getting those reviews and asking for them?
Because our production crews are so awesome, we're generally finishing a job in one day. We're finishing it during the workday while our customers are working. So to avoid us waiting around for 2 or 3 or 4 hours, we're going to set another appointment another day that's convenient for the homeowner, preferably the next day, so that we can talk about the review, talk about the referrals, make sure that they have the entire report for their roof. So they, are more likely to write the five-star review, more likely to give us referrals, and they can see their roof. It's a really fun time because they have done we've done the thing we said we're going to do. We built an amazing roof. Obviously, we're sending the invoice the same day. It's really important that we send the invoice the same day we're completed.
You mean as opposed to 2 weeks down the road when everybody's
wild. It's freaking
wild.
Isn't
that crazy? We heard that all the time.
Send it the same day. I know there's some controversy around this, but we send it before the final walkthrough. If they're not home, I don't care. We've done the job. We believe we have done an excellent job. We believe we protected their grandmother's roses and their deck and all the things that we've done. We've run magnets, blowers. The job site is clean. So we are going to send an invoice. If there's some issues the next day for the next day walk around, or they send us a text the following week, we're going to fix those things if they think that we've done something. But Company Cam saves our butt. Because right. We have a lot of images of the cracked driveway, all kinds of things that we are protecting ourselves so that there's not question at the end of the job that we did something bad. So
we're eliminating these callbacks, all of this time where everybody says, I don't have time to do this. Well, if you do this up front, you're going to have the time to do whatever you want.
Yep. That's right. You do all these pictures. This is part of the process that we do for protecting us through Company Cam, but then we are taking time to meet the customer when possible to ask for referrals and to ask for reviews.
So we're giving the tap. That's a cool app to, mm-hmm. we're giving them, making, it's got to be easy if you're going to get reviews. If you make it difficult for them, they're not going to do it. My dentist is great at this, okay? I go to the dentist every time. He sends me a link to give him a review. It goes, well, I see this thing, and I go, oh, it was a great experience. I really like this guy, but I'm just too busy. But get another one. Maybe a few days later, a week later. I'd like to be able to do this, but I'm just too busy. Third one I get, it's not bugging me. I'm not pissed off at it. But, hey, I have time to do this right now. Oh, yeah, I wanted to give him a review, and I'm going to do it. You just don't throw this out and expect to have, and run away because you're scared to ask. And this is what so much of the referrals, reviews, it comes down to fear. You're just afraid to ask. You're not going to get it the first time necessarily. It's going to take some persistence. And this is where you've got this great follow-up program, right, John, on how, if you're not getting the review, hopefully you get it right there on the spot, because that's when you want to get it, because otherwise people forget. But you've got a follow-up program, right?
Yep. For everything we do, we follow up. We're going to make sure, we're going to guarantee their customers getting a text and an email every single time we ask for anything or we follow up with anything in general. People are busy, and a lot of times it is hard to have the conversation, or it is impossible to have the conversation because they're not around. So having a follow-up is essential to all of these activities.
And that works, right? I mean, it, you get more reviews by using this automation, correct?
Oh yeah. The ProLine automation was sending out review requests to both the husband and the wife for that last job. I mean, weeks later. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they had a great experience. They, yeah, I want to write a review. Yes. We've asked them for the review. They said yes. Well, we're not there. They're at work, whatever the case may be. I don't want our guys hanging around for literally hours on end and not getting to spend time with their family, waiting until 5:30 or 6 o'clock at night just to get a review. When we can use technology to send the link, when a customer is happy, they've reviewed the pictures and the video of their beautiful new roof, they're landscaping is clean, there's no nails, and they know that they're happy with the experience, and we're asking them for the review, but they're not around physically. So we send the automation with the link included, and they write the review. Sometimes it takes the same day, sometimes it takes a couple weeks. In this case, it was a surprise. The wife, who we weren't working with directly, wrote the review almost a month later.
Yep. Okay, so we've done the job. Now we need to know if we made any money on it, okay? So this is where, again, if you're not job costing your jobs, you're making a huge mistake, because you have no idea if you made money or didn't, or where you made money, where you've had slippage, where what's going on, particularly if you've got a lot of salespeople. How do you know who's on top? I mean, we had a board, you know, with our sales guys, it was crystal clear who sold the most. And just as important is what the margins were, who sold that job for the most amount of money, because that's the margin. I could also tell if the job is screwed up, you know, in production, again, because their job is to protect that profit and the money's made in the sale. And that's why, from a sales standpoint, and also from a production standpoint, we knew these guys were hitting them because they had the targets. They had the man days to do the job. This was, you know, we had employees, you know, W-2 employees that did our work. A lot of you guys, most of you guys use subcontractors, so it's a little different. But you need to know what's going on. What do you do in that situation, John? I know that you certainly do job costing because you're a profitable business, and you can see the ones that do job costings and the ones that don't. The ones that do are generally the profitable, growing businesses that are in control and have the confidence with their pricing.
Yeah. So we're transparent. Just like I went through before, in ProLine's like budget number, the planning and the final tabs give us the job costs. So everyone understands every single time. And then we do have daily meetings. So if there's something off, both in a positive direction or in a negative direction, we address it on a daily level. And then we don't have any monthly meetings specifically. We work in quarters. So we have our first 90-day goal, and there's certain parameters. And I know the sales cycle is a little bit longer. So we have a 90-day goal for Athens and a 90-day goal for Savannah. And we'll be keeping track of, are you on track? Are you not on track? And so that's what we'll be doing for the next 90 days.
And that's what your job is. That's leadership. That's managing your business, is looking at the reporting. First off, you've got to have good reporting so you know what actually happens. And then you can make judgments, particularly as you grow. This becomes so important because now, say you've got 5, 10 sales guys, Who's doing what? I mean, this is where these guys are out of control. They don't know how to manage them. This is how you do it. And you build that foundation. Now we're stepping up. We've got our process down. And as you can tell, if you're listening to this series, this report series, every step of the way has a process, okay, where there's no question. It's not like, oh, yeah, I do this sometimes. Well, that's not the right answer. So we got the job costing. And I always call it doing a postmortem. So, you know, this is a little different. You know, we had larger jobs that we were doing in the commercial space, but we had our budget or our estimate, and then we would have our actual, what actually happened. And those may vary. So we were looking at the variance, what happened and what went wrong, what went right. I use this example, one of our sales guys. I mean, the guy's materials were off 10% on this whole run of jobs. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Can't measure the roof. So we made adjustments for that, but that's a big deal, you know, and really makes the money. And this is what we're talking about. If you take, you know, you're running a, you know, in a $1 million, $5 million company. If you can pick up an extra 2, 3, 4, 5 points of gross profit on the job, that's coming right down to the bottom line, you're starting to talk about some real money. And this is why we do it, and it makes it worthwhile. Don't you think, John?
Absolutely. I'm literally looking at a pre-job budget and an actual right now for material right now, and it's very fun to see the difference in the right direction. That we have budgeted correctly, not too high, but we have we've not under budgeted as well. So yeah, you've got to track all this very, very carefully, and very important. If you do 100 jobs and you save $500 on 100 jobs, how much money is that in profits? $50,000 of profit, and that's just for $1 million.
Bottom line, exactly.
That's just $1 million, and you can do if you're. I mean, our average roof right now between the two, it's a little difficult because we have two different markets. But if you are looking to, oh, I want to do $1 million. Well, $1 million for most people is 71 roofs. That's what it is. 71 roofs. It's not even two roofs a week. And if you say, okay, well, you know, it's cold or whatever, it's okay. Well, let's call it 40 weeks out of the year. So let's say 40 weeks divided by 71 and it's so yeah, you're not even doing, it's very easy to hit those numbers to hit $1 million. And that's why it's really important to make the profit on every single job so that you have the extra $50,000 of profit for the 71 jobs that you just did. It's super, super important to be profitable every single time. Set yourself up for success, lower your acquisition costs, actually track your job, just like I'm doing right this minute. It's really fun to see. Yeah, all of it's connected. Branding, marketing, help lower your acquisition costs so that you can be as profitable as you can on every single job.
This is how you run a business. You can be selling shoes. You could be selling roofs. It doesn't matter. You are running a business just as you would if you're running freaking IBM. You know, I mean, it's knowing your numbers and being able to see what's going on. So now we've taken those jobs. Let's say we've done these 20 jobs. We've costed them out, each one in that. Now we've got actuals. Well, we can add those up, and that's going to be our financial statement, our month-end financial statement. Everything balances, okay? This is your actual cost. So now we're going to know if we're going to have a good month or not. We know our sales. We know our gross profit margin. We should have control over our overhead expenses, the 20 grand a month that John's talking about, just to keep the lights on, right? So this is your nut that you've got to cover. So now we've got these jobs. We've added them up. Now we're getting a monthly financial statement. Now, if you're not getting monthly financial statements, you're not able to run your business. And this is what's so important. And what we're talking about here is, you know, we've mentioned Tisha a number of times. She is great. She's our bookkeeper. a remote bookkeeper. There's nobody on site. John lives in this little room right there. That's his whole business. He doesn't have a bunch of employees hanging around where you get these bookkeepers. I think five contractors right now that have these bookkeepers in-house that, one, they don't know what they're doing. They're not getting any reporting done. There always is some kind of personal issue here, you know, that we're going through. And, oh, yeah, I should really get rid of them and blah, blah, blah. This is something you can outsource if you get the right person. And this is what Tisha does. She's awesome. So she gets our clients their numbers, and within the last 30 days after that month is complete, I sit down with Tisha and the client, and we go through each of these numbers and learn what they mean and why they're so important. And this is where we find little errors, little things. You learn so much by looking at these accounts and seeing, well, what's this? What was this about? This is how you avoid getting embezzled also, okay? You review this, and I can see in 30 seconds if somebody's stealing money out of your business, you know? And this is why you go over this. It takes an hour. You go through and you learn how to run a business. You learn how to read a financial statement, a profit and loss statement. And just as importantly, or more, is your balance sheet. You've got to understand your balance sheet and your cash flow. So you want to look at those reports and be sure that you've got everything in alignment and you're making money, just like John is saying. Now, you have to know all these things going through the month. You just don't wait until the end. It's like contractors wait until the end of the year. I'm gonna get my CPA, who doesn't know squat about construction accounting, he's going to do this. He's going to file my tax return, and then I'm going to find out. Well, yeah, you're going to find out. There's nothing you can do about it because it is going to be what it is. It's going to be, as guys say. So if you don't know going through the year, and as John, you know, reviews quarterly, knows every quarter what's going on, if you're having a good year, bad year, actual versus budget, because then you can do something about it. If you can see in that first quarter where you're behind, okay, we need a new plan. We got to put step on the gas. We got to do something different to make up for that. So this is why this scorekeeping, as we say, the third leg of our stool, is so important, and really, you know, as important as the other two legs, because without all these, you don't have anything. Scorekeeping, great one for, you know, oh yeah, well, I get my bill, you know, I don't get my invoices out for 2 weeks. There's a lot of contractors that have that. Well, the next thing you know, I can see that, hey, you know, in 30 days from now, you're going to run into cash problems because you've got to make its payments and you don't have the cash coming in because you can't stay on top of it. That's crazy. Anyway, John, what else do you have to say about this? And we can, I think, pretty much wrap this conversation up.
We have beat a dead horse. Know your numbers.
That's it. Let's say that again. Know your numbers. All right. Well, hopefully you guys got some good value out of that conversation. Well, these three legs of our stool, this is what business is. Sell work, do work, keep score, and do them all really well and in control. And this is how, one, you make a lot of money, you grow a business that you're in control of, you have confidence in these numbers, and you have your life back. This is how you have the time to do these things. And you're not just running around putting out fires and you're just going crazy, not having fun in this business, because this industry, this business is awesome. You can make a lot of money in this business. You can build a great company, and you can have the free time to step back and get the hell out of the way and let the guys do the jobs, what they should be doing, because you've got processes, step by step by step, everything right there. Done deal. I just want to take a minute to thank our sponsor, and that is SMA Support. These guys are great. They provide a fantastic service that so many contractors need. We're talking about giving you an inside salesperson to prep estimates, follow up with customers, and even help manage your schedule, all without the headache of hiring and training. Or fill in the operations gap to ensure that jobs are scheduled and permits are pulled, and walk your customer through that five-star experience and even get that five-star review. SMA support handles all the behind-the-scenes work so you can focus on what you do best. Imagine you're a roofing business with no more dropped balls and don't have tasks falling through the cracks. So check out SMA support at smasupport.us and tell them Dave sent you. All right.
All right.
All right. Well, that's it for today. I really appreciate everybody listening. And thanks so much, John. That's fantastic. Okay. Yeah. You got your sign up. Says watch your talk, listen ratio. I agree. Next time, maybe. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week on the Roofer Show.